After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
It's over to you. That time on a Saturday, 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need. What did you make of it at Celtic Park today? How big a win does it feel like? How significant given the way things are? And what will this do to Hearts and Rangers as they try and catch up? There were some big talking points. A penalty to Celtic, a red card to Manuel Longuello as well. And to the rest of you, join in, jump on board. What about you Hearts fans? Maybe you're heading down to Ayrshire, wouldn't mind hearing from you. And Rangers fans, what does this do pressure wise tomorrow? Lots of interesting talking points, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, it's a domino effect now. Celtic have done their job, and now it's over to Hearts, because Celtic are 2 points behind them. Whatever happens at Kilmarnock, the pressure then transfers, domino effect, to Rangers at Paisley. Because let's be honest, everyone thinks that Rangers ought to take care of a side with no manager and minus one of their best players, Marcus Fraser, with ease. And if Rangers, who earlier on, of course, drew 2-2 with Livy, the bottom club, if Rangers go for or end up with another draw, or worse, then Danny Rule is in major trouble with the Rangers supporters. So Celtic have done their job, Hearts expect to do their job, and then it all transfers to Danny Rule tomorrow.
Right, keep the calls coming in. Cammy, we've had an interesting afternoon already, and plenty more to come across the weekend.
Yeah, brilliant afternoon again. You look at Celtic, massive win for them today. The opportunity, we mentioned it before, to go and put pressure on Hearts. It's the first time they've had that sort of opportunity to then apply pressure on. And again, when you look at the Hearts game tonight, for me, first against 11th, if Hearts don't take all 3 points from Rugby Park tonight, which is a difficult venue, I get it, it's a difficult venue, but this is a Kilmarnock team that got beat 5-1 to Falkirk last time they played. If they don't go and win that game, I feel as if the pressure will be getting to Hearts, because again, the gap is closing.
You just wonder if we'll be sitting here next week at 2 o'clock and thinking, as it was for the top three, Hearts and Rangers got to go and match Celtic's result today. I always thought Celtic's game would be difficult, but I fancied them, you know, the way they've been going, to go and beat Motherwell at Celtic Park, and they certainly done that. And quite rightly, the boys are saying a lot of important games now. You know, Hearts have got to go down there and keep putting the pressure on Celtic by winning and saying, listen, that gap's still 5, you've still got to catch us, and then put more pressure on Rangers tomorrow going to St Mirren. So it's exciting stuff, and our big pal down the bottom of the league there, he's got a massive game next week against Kelly down there to even give himself a hope of staying in this league.
0141 951 1025. There is a screen to my right which isn't moving the way it normally is, so if there are technical issues, we'll try and iron them out. My apologies for that. It's almost like we shouldn't have left Hugh Keevans in charge,
yeah,
of the technology. And can we plug Hugh's Nokia into the desk? Try and get the calls routed through that way, because the last thing anybody needs is to hear too much from us at this time on a Saturday. But my apologies, there is some minor issue there, hopefully, that we can iron out. You can never tell how big something's going to be until afterwards, really. But if we're talking about Motherwell being one of the more capable teams of going and getting something at Celtic Park, the fact that they haven't today, Cammy, the fact that that's now, you know, look at that run Celtic are on, not necessarily brilliant performances, but there's no real sign of it's kind of points being dropped or anything like that. It progressed in the cup last week.
Yeah, listen, it's all about results. We're at that time of the season that, listen, what happens on the pitch doesn't matter, as long as if it's a cup game, you progress. If it's a league game, you get 3 points. And that's all that matters to Celtic at this moment in time. They've managed to navigate their way through a difficult afternoon against Motherwell. We speak highly of them this season. They've been excellent. I think the red card plays a part in the game, obviously, given the penalty, and they go down to 10 men in one go. So, but Celtic are handling everything that's thrown at them. And again, Hugh mentioned it before, the Martin O'Neill effect. I feel as if Martin O'Neill has just steadied the ship. He's using all his experience. He's not got the greatest of squads, but he's certainly getting the best out of them.
In a season of remarkable stories, Cammy, and you can't have any more remarkable than Celtic and Rangers having had 5 managers between them, 5 in a single season, Martin O'Neill is a Hollywood blockbuster. 74-year-old man, hadn't managed a club in 6 years, comes here and has Celtic 2 points off the top of the league and in the semi-finals of the Scottish Cup. And if Celtic hadn't made the single biggest wrong decision in the club's history by appointing Wilfred Nancy, Martin O'Neill, I suspect, would have won the League Cup as well. So his story is truly a story that would transfer to the silver screen.
Sore one for Motherwell, Gordon, because they don't, this, you know, were perfectly within the game, took the lead, level, still showing what they're capable of. And then penalty, red card, which I'm sure we'll debate. And then yeah, obviously the game kind of gets away at that point. Motherwell are capable of getting back in with 10 men, but if Celtic score again quite quickly, always going to be tough.
Yeah, it's still an embarrassment to go to Celtic Park and lose 3-1 and obviously get down to 10 men. If you this is to the Motherwell fans at the start of the season, this is football you're going to get. You would go. Motherwell fans probably leave Celtic Park tonight slightly disappointed that they probably didn't get anything. It showed you how far this manager's taken this team. It was always going to be too big an ask for me. I thought the start of the season put them behind the black ball right away, and then all of a sudden they come in a great run. Fir Park, they're going to have a big say, because teams will not like coming to Fir Park. I think in their last 11 games the only team that scored there is Rangers. So it's going to be a big ask for teams to come and pick up points. But look, Celtic were just too big an ask today. Disappointing after the away defeat last week to Dundee. But the one thing is, so far, and it will to the end of the season, Motherwell have had a great season.
Still trying to get these phone lines opened for you, so my apologies. Just turn that screen off and back on again. Usually works,
that,
doesn't
that
it?
Yeah. But every IT man has ever told me, just switch it off, put it back on again.
In terms of other stories, Cammy, it feels like, I mean, the two other games were draws, so there's not loads to take away. Always going to be a bit of intrigue, I guess. And Stephen Robinson's first game took the lead. Kevin Nisbet, Barney Stewart levelling things up for Falkirk.
Yeah, a game you probably looked at and you were thinking was always going to be fairly close. Aberdeen get the lead through a goalkeeping error for Scott from Scott Bain, and then Falkirk again. Barney Stewart, the story of Barney Stewart continues. He keeps scoring goals at this level, incredible. So yeah, you kind of looked at that game. I think Stephen Robinson at this moment in time, he'll just be in there trying to steady the ship, assess the squad and the direction that that club's going to go in, because they've obviously made a big decision this week to bring him into the club, and they see the future being with Stephen Robinson. So I think between now and the end of the season, it's up to the players to show him what they can do.
Ibrox next for Stephen Robinson.
Yeah,
I from this distance wouldn't give him an earthly, but he's been brought in for a reason. The squad's poor. They have been slipping out of sight, and they thought that everything was okay when they won the Scottish Cup last May. It only papered over substantial cracks, and Stephen Robinson has a major job in his hands to make Aberdeen recognisably Aberdeen once again.
And then the other bit of that today, Gordon, the third picture in the Premiership story today is Hibs. It's a home draw against the team bottom of the league. A failure to really capitalise on Motherwell losing at Celtic Park. They did gain 1 point.
It sums up the season, I think. One minute you see Hibs and they're exciting and they're winning games and you're thinking, right, they're going to kick on from here. And then you see a performance, but let's not take away anything from Livy. They've went there, done a great job, got a great point for Big Marv down the bottom of the league, scrapping away. But I think if you're a Hibby, you'd be disappointed not beating a team that's not won since August 9th, is it?
I'm almost certain turning this off and back on again is going to work. So keep the calls coming. I can see loads of you trying, and we will speak to you next, hopefully.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line 0141 951 1025.
Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell and Gordon Dalziel are here. I would usually say keep the calls coming, and I think you can still say that, but again, for some technological reason well beyond my pay grade, can't quite manage to get you put through at the moment. So my humble apologies. Believe me, if it's annoying for you, it's annoying for me. And the most work shy man in the west of Scotland is going to have to talk more until 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
How do you know I was talking about you?
Because you pointed to me and I knew you were talking about me. If I was a Celtic fan, which they're on the phone and trying to get through, they're probably saying, Gordon, we were so lucky to beat that Motherwell team this afternoon. But look, I kidding on. It's about the 3 points. That closes that gap to two. Hearts are going down to Rugby Park tonight. I fancy Hearts, I've got to say. I do fancy them. There'll be a big support down there following them.
Does it change Derek McInnes' team talk? No. Will he mention it, anything in it?
No, I think Derek's too experienced. Fraser said it.
Why is that a sign of inexperience, though, to just use whatever?
No, I don't think he's going to go down that route. Look, even if they lose tonight, they're still top of the league.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's not like saying, look,
I know that, but let's not be kidded here. This weekend will be seen as a massive momentum shift if that happens.
Look, I think Derek will have done all his work. Everything will be done, and he'll probably have a couple of minutes before they get out in the pitch and say, look, guys, we deserve to be here, we're staying here, let's go and get the job done.
He did mention that obviously they were going to keep an eye on the Celtic game.
Of course
you will, yeah, I get it. But again, does it, I'm not saying mention it in a negative way. You can use it as just, you know, let's just keep that gap that we have. Again, come down here, treat the game as you say. He'll done all his work on the training ground.
He might have flipped it. Look, we don't know what Derek McInnes has got to say, right? He's a manager, he's been round the block many times. He might have, if Celtic lost today, go, what a great opportunity. Mm-hmm. But he'll have probably, deep inside, thought to himself, it's got to take a big ass for Motherwell to get 3 points today. So he would have probably known that that gap was going to be down to two by 5 o'clock tonight.
Does that prolonged break for both of them? Kilmarnock didn't have the cup and Hearts didn't have the cup, so they've been idle for a fortnight. Does that make any difference to
them? Well, the difference for me, Hugh, is I think Hearts get into that in a better position because I heard Neil McCann saying, look, we've had to stew on getting thumped 5-1 with Falkirk, you know, for the last 2 weeks, and we're stewing on it every day. Whereas Hearts aren't. Hearts are just riding the wave. They're going along. They'll be loving training. They'll be loving their break, everything
but
about
for me,
it.
Ideally, Hearts would have wanted a league game next week. They just want the league games to keep coming and coming. I think when you've got winning momentum as a player, you feel good about yourself and you don't want that break. You don't technically want that.
It can work for you or against you, but put it this way, the break also gives them the extra week to get the Shanklins and Devlins in that back.
I'm thinking of the difference that the build up of momentum has made to Celtic. Five games now, starting in Stuttgart, two at Ibrox, one at Pittodrie, this one today against the team who by common consent have been the best in the Premier League or the Premiership this season. At five games, no breaks, almost
short space of time.
But you're going in against, it's not like you're going in against a Celtic tonight. You're not going in against a Rangers, teams that are round about you, a Motherwell at Fir Park. You're going in against a team that has come off a 5-1 drubbing. They've had to stew in it for they didn't have a game last week. They had to stew in it as well. So where's their momentum? How can you argue that momentum when they've no momentum at all either?
No, they've not. But again, they've shown in spells and not for long enough in a game, because certainly the first half of that Celtic game down at Rugby Park, they were excellent. They blew Celtic away. Yes, Celtic were really poor, but Kilmarnock took full advantage of that and obviously went in 2-0 up at half time. So again, they've shown they can do it.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be easy sailing for Hearts tonight, right? But I just think with the Braggers and the players that they've got, the incentive to keep that lead, it's cutting down the games. I think Kilmarnock's big problem, it's not a one-man team, but the lad Jules was brilliant for him. He was a game-changer for me. I would have been more confident Kilmarnock getting out of this struggle with him in the team, but the minute they lost him, they've lost that sort of edge of scoring goals, which is the main factor in the game.
Apologies for the lack of calls ongoing, trying to get that ironed out and hopefully speak to you before too much longer has passed. Hugh, because of those circumstances, they have changed this season. Motherwell are much better than they've been in recent seasons. Yeah. The Celtic are in a different position to what they're normally in. There's Hearts in the mix and so on. Do you think that felt like a big moment? That feel like a statement win or whatever tag you want to put on it for Celtic today?
Yes, I do think so, because the last time the two sides met, and I do understand it was under Wilfred Nancy, who may yet prove to be the reason why Celtic don't win the title, but the last time Motherwell just blew Celtic away, and this is Martin O'Neill making it up as he goes along in terms of personnel, in terms of everything associated with the club, serious injury, who expected him to lose his captain? the heartbeat, Callum McGregor, and yet he knocks Rangers out of the cup minus McGregor. He beats the best team in the Premiership minus McGregor. Thomas Chivancha now becomes an interesting one, because he scored the goal that put Rangers out of the cup last weekend, and now he scored the goal that settles the game in Celtic's favour today. So his confidence grows. He will now get a chance, I think, through the middle to see if he can build on that. But the Martin O'Neill factor is the biggest thing in Celtic's favour. No one else could have come in and steadied the whole club, because he wasn't only dealing with the players on the park, he was dealing with all the sack the board stuff, the banning of the Green Brigade. He was dealing with a club that was in disarray, and he has performed miracles.
Oh, incredible, Hugh, because I totally agree with you in the fact that the job he's doing, because that is a weak in Celtic side, and there's guys in there that moving forward ain't going to be a part of what Celtic are going to try and do, because Celtic have come back the way they've not moved forward. But the incredible thing about it is this guy could go on and win a double. It's not just when that he's I would fancy him at Hampden Park against St Mirren, and doesn't matter many injuries he's got, because you look at the way St Mirren are performing, lost their manager as well, so I'd fancy him to get to the final, and then you take your chance against a Falkirk or Dunfermline. But I won't write them off, because cup shocks happen. But he's done a remarkable job just to be in that situation. And if but he's still got a good group of players. You've got to say that about him.
We'll give you the final word on this, but to you two first, if you're looking for other people to step up and can't rely on Negan all the time, it's a double for Yang today, man of the match performance.
I've said it from day one. He's not the player I think is going to take you to the next level, right? But there's something about him, and I like him at Celtic Park. I think he plays with a little bit more confidence, freedom. I don't know if it's the atmosphere he loves. He just comes alive. When he came on to see him at first, Gordon, I always said he was too negative. Be positive. Go and try and get by people. You've got bags of pace. You've got a trick in your locker. He looks like he's doing that. Yeah. And he's starting to get rewards by scoring goals, and he's becoming a threat. But I think it's going to need more than Yang. Chivancha has got to step up.
That's eight for the season. I don't think it's a bad return for a winger. If you're saying Celtic are not at their fluent best, he could quite clearly get double figures by the end of the season.
Yeah, and they'll be certainly hoping he can get double figures, because again, we've mentioned that they've not got that out and out striker that's going to score them a barrel load of goals at this moment in time. So they're relying on your Negrins, your Yangs, Chivancha. They'll be hoping that he can step up and get a few goals. But I think, again, Martin O'Neill's probably played a big part in Yang as well, just building confidence in him. You mention him going forward and not being negative. I think that'll be the message from Martin O'Neill. It'll be, wingers, go forward. Go and take your players on. Go and beat your fullbacks. Come inside. Get your shots away. Create opportunities. And I really do. You can't speak highly enough of the job that Martin O'Neill's doing, because for me, it is a really average squad that he's got. But that's what he's got between now and the end of the season, to try and win two trophies. Again, for me, if he can manage to get the best out of the players that he has at his disposal, that's a true measure of how good a manager he is.
Rumour has it, Hughie, he ran off and cupped his ears after the goal and was aiming at you.
Oh, well, what I would say about the Yang is that a very obvious observation to be made is consistency. I remember last season, Saturday night, Celtic played at Paisley, and Yang was fantastic. He scored two goals, I think both were headers, and also made a terrific goal for Daizen Maeda. But you know, the season still ended with Celtic in the cup final playing Yang and lost. So consistency has been his problem. But many congratulations to him today. It was a huge match for Celtic, and he was the star turn. Now we'll go to the next game and see what he has to offer.
Because, look, Gordon, this is maybe not the priority tonight. This is, you know, well done to Celtic. It's a good result. It's a significant result, potentially. But eventually, as part of a wider discussion about recruitment and so on, you can argue and say Yang is the most productive or the best or whatever 100%. Phrase you want winger at Celtic at the moment, despite having tried to bring in various others.
Yeah, they spent a lot of money in wide players, and it's certainly not worked. And Yang seems to be the one that Martin O'Neill has the most faith in. I don't know if Sean Maloney plays a big part behind the scenes. Obviously, knows that position inside out as well as a wide player. But look, it's all about confidence for me, and I think he's starting to get that with goals as well, performances, everything about him. He looks like a guy now when you watch him. He looks a bit more like he's enjoying that football again. But I do believe that obviously Celtic are right in the hunt to go and win the league. They're right in the hunt to go and win a double, and I wouldn't put it by Martin O'Neill. It's not about coaching here for Martin O'Neill. Man management's been absolutely brilliant. It's absolutely terrific. But I think it'll take more than just performances from Yang. I think he'll need to help from other areas.
I'm going to start a rumour that I've turned the phone lines off because Motherwell lost today. Get that going. But that, yes, somebody is working hard on it, I'm told, to get us back in touch with you. Let's hear from John McGlynn. No, I said McGinn. Oh. McGlynn, a 1-1 draw for Falkirk up at Aberdeen against Stephen Robinson, who took charge of the hosts for the first time.
It was a great goal, yeah, and it was very, very late in the game, but I don't think it's any more than we deserved. You know, I think we deserved overall. I don't think it was a great deal in the game. It looked like a 0-0 written all over it. We make a mistake, they punish us, and fair play to them. I think their game, obviously, was to press and press and press, and they worked very hard at that, and they got the rewards in that moment when you know, Kevin Nisbet chases the ball down on Scott. We were going back too often, actually, to Scott, and on a pitch that's dead, you know, the pitch is absolutely dead, it's very difficult. That's what you're going to get, you know, at this time of the season. So, great mentality, great character, great goal. You know, Ethan Ross comes on as a sub, comes inside, puts a great ball in, and it's a great header for Barney to, I mean, the goalie never even moved. It was a good header. And that's Barney, six. Goals now, you've got three, you've got two. Goal in the Scottish Cup, and that one, seven or so goals he's got. So, brilliant for the young boy. You know, he was a handful, he was a bit of a threat all day, caused them problems. I think they were aware of him, you know, most of the time. Sometimes panicked and rushed clearances at times. So, yeah, I think we had moments in the game where we did well. It wasn't our fluent best, but coming away from home here, going back down the road with a point from, you know, a situation where we were 1-0 down with not a lot of time to go. Great character, great mentality. Pleased with all these kind of like attributes that you do when you've got to try and get something from where you've got nothing.
His manager's done him out of one. I think it's 8 for Barney Stewart.
Yeah.
Since the 24th of January.
Wow.
Now remember, he was in loan at Dunfermline for the first half of the season. So he didn't come into the Falkirk team this season until after the new year, and he's got 8 since then in those 10 games. It's quite remarkable, Hugh. We've done it before, but it doesn't mean we should just forget about the story. He's 21 years of age,
yep.
And a year and a half ago he was playing for Heriot Watt University.
Yeah.
He's scored a hat-trick against Hibs. It's a goal at Pittodrie. You know, a double against Kilmarnock. These are not small, insignificant milestones that he's reaching.
The fixture made all the more difficult for Falkirk because of Stephen Robinson's appointment. You have to think that heightens the Aberdeen performance levels, but they've hung in there, Falkirk. Barney Stewart, one of the stories in many, many stories this season, and that is terrific goal scoring form in 2026. And there appears to be no reason why he can't go on in that vein until the end of the season.
Yeah, he's been terrific, isn't he? You got to say, just a guy that he's got a couple of goals, gets a hat-trick, as you quite rightly said, and confidence. It's a striker. I love the way the manager talks. I was talking to Brian Graham, and John never stops. After the Friday night, Dundee United, they're in the semi-final. He had them in on Monday, really having a real go at them for about an hour, saying, listen, standards dropped a little bit. Just showed you what a fantastic manager, what a job he's doing. And he's bringing in guys like that that nobody would have even thought about bringing into the Premier League, and they're rewarding them with goals.
Arithmetically, I'm just having a look. I think, depending the result tomorrow, that could seal Falkirk's place in the top six. So not completely done yet, but that could be sealed depending what happens in that Dundee derby tomorrow. So for the newly promoted side to do that with what will be three games to spare, is it? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, incredible. And it's just, they've been so consistent this season. They absolutely deserve it. And they will be in the top six. There's no getting away from that, because they'll get results between now and the split. Barney Stewart's story, just when you mentioned that, 24th of January, 7 weeks ago, 8 goals in 7 weeks at the top level of Scottish football, is just incredible for a guy from where he's came from. But again, you mentioned his age, and that's really brilliant for all the Falkirk fans. They've got a young kid on their hands who is scoring goals, looks confident, looks the part, and it's just a brilliant masterstroke from John McGlynn, one of many this season.
Scotland squad tomorrow, not Monday. Carried away.
Do you know? I think we're carried away. But I'll tell you,
it's
what,
romantic.
I would love it.
Amazing.
I would absolutely love it. I think it would just give everybody a great lift, because the boy's come in there, he's been sensational. He's getting all the pats in the back. Look, he'll probably thank his teammates, because I think Falkirk collectively as a team this season have been excellent.
I'm going to try this again, right? 01419511025. Hopefully this time when we return, we can get some calls on the go and speak to you about today's action, tonight's action, and tomorrow's as well.
The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Better late than never. Let's get some calls on the go with Hugh Keevans, Cammy Bell, and Gordon DL. Is it Neil or Niall before we get off on the wrong foot?
It's Niall.
Niall, take it away, Niall. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm not being wise after the fact, but I predict a Celtic double this year. And actually, 2 years ago, I put Mr. Keevans in his place and told him that Celtic were going to win the double. And it was actually the same night that we gave Dundee a scudding. He was like, "Well, Niall, you're clutching at straws. You're looking for positivity in places that there aren't any." And then we seen how that turned out. So often I'm not... Because often your biggest fan is often your biggest critic too. So
I like that. A wee bit of flattery at the end. I don't know how you can't contradict. Celtic are on for the double. They categorically are, Hugh.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all down to Martin O'Neill. He's got a poor squad who are overachieving because he's so good at what he does. And I don't overlook the work of Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham as well. Because I'm quite sure that on a daily basis they're really doing the training. Martin comes in and sprinkles the stardust on match days. So he has them in contention. And Niall, you know, has his firm conviction that Celtic will win a double. I can't contradict and say no they won't, because I don't know.
Does that feel like a big win today, Niall, under the circumstances and everything else that's going on?
I think everybody and their granny knows that was a big win today, because it looked like, to all intents and purposes, we were going to struggle. And actually, Celtic stood up today. They showed a 90-minute performance that we haven't really had. All right, the first half was a bit scrappy, but we actually stood up. We fought for every ball. Because the players remember the scudding they got off of Motherwell underneath Wilfred Nancy, but it's a different echelon of manager we have now. It's not just a fledgling manager, it's Martin O'Neill, just like Hugh's saying. So it's, honestly, I think it's statue time for the man.
Well, I mean, if he wins the double, that might not be humorous at all, that might be fact.
I think a big turning point today, obviously we're not at the game, we just hear what's happening coming in, was that importance of the goal just before half time. We actually...
one's probably penalty red card. That's a very big moment.
I think if you get 1-0 Motherwell at half-time, the fans are a bit anxious. You know what I mean? And Martin probably having a few strong words in that dressing room. It changes very, very quickly. Whereas they get that goal, they get in, and I think everybody was expecting second half, they come out and they go on. Yes, of course, when Motherwell give away the penalty, they go down to 10 men. There's no really coming back from that for Motherwell. But I think the importance of the goal just before half time.
Yeah, can be bigger than the penalty and the red card.
No, I'm saying that it was a big moment in the game, and I thought it was a goal just before half time.
It was a different game for Celtic today as well. Again, they had a number of opportunities. The one that rolls along the line, I think it was Oxlade Chamberlain hits the post, it rolls along the line. Maeda had opportunities, Yang had opportunities, so they did have opportunities. They were a real goal threat today, from what we've seen, to the contrast to last weekend. So yeah, I think Celtic are in a good place, because I really do think wins against teams like Motherwell are big moments in the title race.
Who drops points, Niall? Both of them. In fact, you're from Kilmarnock, aren't you? Hearts are down there. Do they drop points? Rangers, both of them?
Tonight I'll be supporting Kilmarnock, yes, for my friends. I've got a leading piece there. I think everybody's going to drop points, though. I don't think it's going to... It's not clear, cut and dry, like Greyhound race the title. I think it's going to be... There'll be some permutations, I think, before we see a finalised league table. So it's actually... It's so refreshing. I think I could speak for... I'm not going to be so arrogant to think I could speak for the Scottish football, but it's... It's refreshing to see such a like an enticing top six and bottom six. It's actually the split for once in its sorry life has actually worked this year. It's actually going to give us like prime time football.
I actually think it's worked in different ways in loads of other years. If you talk about the fight to get in it,
yeah,
and then the fact that the bottom six all play each other and you've got that trapdoor of the playoffs. I actually think it's worked a lot. This is the first time that we've had a title race that looks like this, and then that's going to be intensified by the split.
100%. I think in years gone by, we've had where the last game going into the split, we've not known who's going to be in the top six and the bottom six. This year, it looks as if that'll be settled very, very soon, if not next weekend. Could be this weekend, potentially. So, yeah, but I think you're right. We've now got a race that we've got three teams for me at this moment in time that are in that title race, and you've probably got four teams at the bottom that can all switch places, so it's really exciting for Scottish football.
Thank you, Niall. What about Kevin? Hi, Kevin.
Hello there.
What are you thinking?
It's just regarding the refereeing performance today. I thought it was very card happy against Celtic players for minimal contact, but the blaring mistake which he's made was a penalty decision. He's 7 yards away, and Dyson Mead is ready to header the ball into an empty net when he wrestled to the ground. And John Beaton can't see that, and it's having to go to VAR. I mean, that is total incompetence in my mind, and I think it should be took. That's the last two games we refereed in the league where he's denied Celtic a penalty, but it's VAR that said to pull him over.
Yeah, but I mean, seeing the VAR era, I mean, of course, technically you're right, Kevin, but John Beaton still gave you the penalty against Rangers. He still gave you the penalty today. Is it really worth getting this upset about a decision that actually goes your way in the end?
No, John Beaton never gave it. John
he did.
Beaton
no, the referee told... the referee gives the decision.
I mean, it was clear. It's blatant. How can he know? If he can't see that for 7 yards, he shouldn't be officiating at a top level.
That's fine, Kevin, but I feel like you're ignoring the point. We've all got decisions about sort of how outraged we get and like what the big issues are versus the small issues. You got a penalty, and Motherwell went down to 10 men. So you know that's the big outcome here.
May I add?
What's that, sorry?
Certainly deserved. They got down to 10 men.
Kevin, what's your thoughts? I'm getting a lot of texts from...
The Oxlade-Chamberlain should have been sent off.
The Oxlade-Chamberlain one was as soft a tackle as you'll see in Scottish football.
But once he was already on a booking, what about the next one he made?
It wasn't a hard challenge. The Motherwell player had the same tackle what Oxlade-Chamberlain made 15 minutes
no,
after.
No, that's not asked though. I said once he was on the booking, what about the challenge later on that he didn't get a second booking for?
He made contact with the ball first, if you watched it right.
Well, I said to you, I gave you fan speak earlier on. It's John Beaton, therefore the Celtic fans all say John Beaton is anti-Celtic.
Oh, and by the way, a quick look at social media is full of non-Celtic fans, shall we say, saying that it was a disgrace that Celtic got the penalty and that Emmanuel Lingello was sent off.
The fact is that John Beaton on two occasions in quick succession has made a mistake, has gone to VAR, who have invited him to examine his mistake, and twice has come to the conclusion that he did make a mistake and changed his mind and gave Celtic penalties. John Beaton is forever cursed because the Celtic fans think that he's anti-Celtic.
I think in John Beaton's defence as well, when you look at the corner as an instant, you've got 15, 16 bodies in a box that you're trying to watch a ball, the flight of the ball coming in, all these bodies moving. So I can understand why he misses or he doesn't see the complete contact on Maeda. Again, we mentioned how long is he held for, is a goal scoring opportunity. So I can understand why he misses that, and that's why we've got VAR. Because as you say, ultimately he goes to the screen, he's the one that makes the decision.
The sad thing about all this stuff is that Martin O'Neill tonight has had what we're calling the statement result. Celtic have with a seriously weakened squad are 2 points off the top of the league. But the first thing that Kevin can think of is John Beaton.
For a penalty that he gave.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks to Kevin. What about Kenneth, who's also in Motherwell but has a different team allegiance? Hi, Kenneth.
Hi there. Just a quick point I want to make. I passed on to my father-in-law that Gordon Wallace unfortunately passed away, and he was trying to remember him, and he googled his name and he started typing in G-O-R, and incidentally Gordon D-L popped up.
Oh no, don't Google him.
I'm still here. There's no sad news.
Well, no, he was more excited that you popped up in Google more than anything.
All right, okay.
It's his Google search you have to be wary of. But no, condolences, act on a more serious note. Hugh did offer that earlier on. Kenneth, what did you take away as a Motherwell fan today? Is that it? Is that the dream over? Was it over last week?
Last week, I said before, I went up to the Dundee game and I did say I think Dundee will beat us, but I was absolutely convinced today we were going to beat Celtic. But right before the game, I said the game's either going to be Motherwell 2-0 or Celtic 3-1. I wish I put both bets on because one of them would have came up. But going and watching the game, I noticed a couple of decisions that I think should have went Motherwell's way. I feel as though he had his elbow, like he leaned into that elbow. He knew fine well what he was doing. He's not daft. We've got professionals on the panel. They know that. They know what happens on the field. They've done that before. Well, I'm not saying they've done that, but they know it happens. And I feel as though Oxlade-Chamberlain, he definitely deserved a second yellow, I would argue. But that's not what lost Motherwell the game. Motherwell lost the game because of Lingelo's lackadaisical defending at the back post. He could have done better. He should have done better. He's a better defender than what he's shown himself for today.
You don't have complaints with that penalty award?
It was a penalty, I feel. Both were pulling at each other, yes, but Longello, I felt as though, was more all over Maeda than Maeda was all over Longello. Maeda might have made a wee bit of a meal of it, but Masunisi's done it, Sy's done it. You could argue Raskin's done it. You could go into every other team. Hamilton for Dundee's done it. You can keep going. Every player does it. If you're in the box, someone's touching you, they're pulling at your shirt, you're pulling at theirs, you're going to go down and look for the penalty. Everyone does it. It's just the way of the game. But it is what it is. But I really, really feel strong about Maeda's elbow and Chamberlain's second challenge that could have led to a red card.
I have to be honest, a non-televised game, genuinely, I have no idea about this Maeda elbow. However, I can see lots of people mention it. Lots are mentioning Oxlade-Chamberlain as well. You've seen the penalty and the red card.
Yep.
Kenneth's been pretty fair as a Motherwell fan, thinks it you know, doesn't have many complaints with it. What was your view on it?
No, I don't think, when you see it back, I think Longello gets his still the wrong side of Maeda. It's a good ball in the box. The goalie gets caught out by the cross. He's out of his goal. Maeda's going to head the ball into an empty net for me. I think Longell just panics a little bit, tries to get that arm round him and grabs him. Yes, Maeda probably makes it a little bit more dramatic than it was, but for me, the length of the hold, it is a penalty and it is a red card. So for me, they've came to the right conclusion. That was a big moment in the game because, again, when you're 1-1, it's not just a penalty, it's the 10 men. It takes the wind out of your sails. Again, Celtic, it gave them more momentum to go forward and get that third goal. So I think that was a real defining moment in the game today.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with that. Yeah, I've got to say, a bit disappointed.
Even a red. Is it because the goalie's out, so Maeda in theory is about to head it into an empty net?
Yeah, I think.
Well, are you okay with your voice? What's going on?
Voice went there. I do agree with the call. It was lazy defending, I've got to say. He's just been caught out. And I think the referee finally, when he went over his screen, Gordon, I think everybody knew it was going to be a red card and a penalty kick. So it was the right decision.
Let's thank Kenneth and bring in Mark, who's in Parkhead. Hi, Mark.
How are you getting on, Gordon? You all right?
Good, you?
Not too bad. Just back for the game, mate.
Happy with that? Does it feel like a big win?
It's a massive win. It's massive, because Celtic are a poor side. And if they're Motherwell, better coaching us, look like as if I've got better players than us and have their intensity is just on a different level. So, no, it's a massive win.
What about the... Do you think it... I mean, it's always hard to say sort of how big just now because we don't know what Hearts do tonight, what Rangers do tomorrow, but does this feel like, despite the limited performances, that Celtic have got a bit of momentum in this title race?
I think it's just all down to Martin O'Neill and the coaching staff, to be honest with you. I think they're just bringing a new lease of life into players that are below par. They're no decent players and they're going to be at Celtic any other season, I wouldn't. But I'm actually just phoning just to pick up on the caller's point two calls ago with regards to the refereeing performance. I would just like to ask, if after Celtic win, when is the right time? When do you think is the right time that we can criticise the referees? If you can't criticise them after a defeat, then you can't criticise them after a win. When's the right time to criticise referees? Because John Beaton was shocking today. So just putting that to the panel, when's it all right to criticise referees?
Well, you can. Previous caller did it. I suspect you're about to do it.
I'm not going to do it. I'm just asking you, because the guy came on and was talking about being card happy, and there was a pile on for yourself and the pundits with regards to, oh, just be happy, you won the game. So your first thought's about referees. Do you know what I mean? The day of the first challenge with Oxlade Chamberlain, it probably is a yellow card, right? It is a bit cynical, but he wasn't going to give the foul to start with. Then it goes back and books him. Can I understand that? Then after it,
you just said it probably was a yellow card. Then you said you can't understand why he books him.
No, I can't understand why he wasn't going to. I can understand why it is, but I can't understand why John Beaton walks away from it. Wasn't going to give a foul, gives the foul, and then goes, hey, do you know what? Actually, I'm going to get a yellow card when I didn't actually want to give the foul to start with. So, but I'm talking about after that, there was three cynical fouls, late challenges. There was one in Tinetti, there was one in Yang, and then I think there was one in Hitati as well, where there's no attempt to play the ball for the Motherwell player. There's no cards. Motherwell's first card was about 60 minutes today. So it was kind of card half of the day with regards to Celtic, and he did let Motherwell away with similar cynical challenges. That's John Beaton there, again, to follow up as well. He's constantly making mistakes, and it's all right to say aye, but he's correcting his mistakes with VAR. But you're constantly using VAR because of the poor officiating in the country. Would you agree, or would you disagree on that?
Well, it's just, that's what VAR's there for you. I don't know if it's about agreeing or disagreeing. For what it's worth, refs still get marked down when they make a mistake that needs corrected by VAR. But, you know, that's why I think pretty much every league, top league in the world, has it now. So Celtic deserved their penalty, got their penalty. You know, that's just kind of what it's there for. We'll never really know now. You almost forget what life is like without it.
Mark, I've made the point that I think the Celtic supporters have an obsession with John Beaton.
Why do you think that, Hugh? Where's that come from, do you think?
Well, probably what you said, Mark. It's not that you're not allowed, but if it's your dominant thought after a statement might win the league.
In a short space of time, Mark, he's made two mistakes and corrected his own mistakes.
By the way, see on that, let's be abundantly clear about something. Not one of us spotted that Dujon Sterling handball. So this notion about mistake, I mean, if you want to be technical about it, the ref misses it and VAR helps him get there. But let's not be too clever after the event. Nobody thought that was a handball.
In my personal opinion, the Celtic supporters are obsessed by John Beaton, and they're obsessed by him because they believe that he's anti-Celtic and wants to try and prevent them from winning matches. That, for me, is it in a nutshell. Mark began his call by saying Motherwell looked more intense, better coached than Celtic, and described Celtic as a poor team. I go back to my original thought on that. I think it's disrespectful to go on and on about the referee.
It's not disrespectful, to be fair.
Disrespectful to Martin O'Neill and to Sean Maloney and Mark Fotheringham, who are bringing these results together. Fair play to them, and never mind referees.
Well, to be fair though, Mark did say it was credit to them. He did credit them earlier on, so I think he did a bit of both. Thank you very much to Mark from Parkhead. Apologies that was later than normal onto the phones, because we had one or two technical gremlins. But that's what happens on live radio, the beauty of it. It was a big day in the Scottish Premiership. It's then going to be a big night. How will Hearts' trip to Kilmarnock go? What's your gut telling you?
My gut's telling me that Hearts will find it difficult tonight at Rugby Park, but I think they've got enough in their locker to keep that gap to 5.
Right, okay.
Draw.
Oh, so advantage Celtic over today.
I think a draw tonight and a Rangers win tomorrow.
Okay, well, it's going to be interesting for sure. Thank you very much for your company this afternoon. The guys are back tomorrow 4 o'clock to take you through everything else you need to know. And enjoy the GBX, which is up next.